Welcome to the So Why podcast with Step Care Solutions. This podcast aims to explore issues and challenges, as well as ideas and solutions leading to strengthening support for mental wellness and recovery. My name is Alexa Bull, Director of Co-Design and Knowledge Exchange at Step Care Solutions, and I will be your host for this episode. Single session therapy, sometimes called one-at-a-time therapy, has been around for a while. It has been steadily gaining attention among providers and service delivery systems. Single session therapy can have tremendous impacts in different contexts with proven waitlist reductions and positive outcomes for many people. It is based on the assumption that something helpful can happen in one interaction. The thing is, single session therapy is an important approach because many people can only attend or only want to attend one session. In fact, research shows the most common number of therapy sessions attended is one session. If a person will only engage once and may never come back for another session, it becomes really important that the one session they have is helpful. One-at-a-time therapy provides an effective option for people seeking support to address their concerns in the moment. Borrowing from this approach, one-at-a-time thinking has been identified as a core component of Step Care 2.0. This thinking considers that every encounter across the mental health system is an opportunity for a person to have a helpful experience and address their immediate concerns. As a part of our So Why podcast with Step Care Solutions, we will embark on a mini-series to explore perspectives on implementing one-at-a-time therapy. We'll learn from various practitioners about how this method can be used in different contexts. One at a time may not fit every situation, but it is a fantastic option that can be helpful in so many ways. Going beyond a methodology, single session therapy is a mindset that counselors can learn and embrace. This mindset puts a focus on supporting people in the moment and recognizing and building on their strengths. In Italy, the Italian Center for Single Session Therapy is working towards shifting the mindsets of counselors across the country to be able to offer a person-centric approach that recognizes professionals do not carry all the wisdom, but that people often know what is best for them. Today, we are joined by Dr. Flavio Canestra, a psychologist based in Rome, Italy. He is the founder and co-director of the Italian Center for Single Session Therapy and the ICNOS Institute, an international postgraduate training institute specializing in strategic and systemic brief psychotherapies. His publications include Single Session Therapy Principles and Practices and Brief Therapy Conversations. Let's welcome Dr. Flavio Canestra.
So thank you so much, Flavio, for joining us on the So Why podcast today. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you, Alexa. I am so happy to be here.
So today we're talking a little bit about single session therapy. Can you just start out by sharing a little bit about how single session therapy works?
So single session therapy is a method that we can say that it's a study about how we can maximize every single session in order to make it possible that that's the last session. Of course, it could be the first session, but you can use this method in every session. Michael Hoyt says that single session therapy is basically a mindset, a way to approach to the session, to the work with the client in order to maximize every single session. And Jeff Young says that single session therapy is a service delivery system, a way to deliver psychotherapy in order, again, to maximize every single session with your client. So we can say that single session therapy is a way to obtain the best from every single session in order to make it possible that you don't need any other session.
Thank you so much for clarifying that and sharing that. Would you be able to share or outline some of the principles that support this type of work?
Yeah, there are different observations that help us to obtain the goal to help the client in that single session. But we can find in different methods some common principles. One is that you have to set a goal for that specific session with your client. This is probably the principle that we can find in every single method of single session therapy. And it's important to understand that the principle often are related to the mindset of the therapist. It's quite simple to teach techniques, guidelines to how to act during a single session therapy, following a single session therapy method. But it's more difficult to enter in the single session therapy mindset, which means, for example, having the idea that one session could be enough, which means, for example, that you don't have to solve a problem, not necessarily, because single session therapy born when Moshe Talmon saw that many clients just attend for one session, and when he asked them why, they answered that one session, many of them answered that one session was enough. So you as therapist have to approach to every single session considering that one session could be enough, that maybe you don't have helped yet the client to solve this problem, her problem, but everything you have done with him, it's enough. He doesn't need anything else. And another mindset principle is, for example, that the client has the resources that you have to help him or her to find out what kind of resources he has and how he can use those resources to solve this problem. I wrote an article for the International Journal of Brief Therapy and Family Therapy about 14 principle of the single session mindset. I don't want to tell all the 14 principle, but that's very interesting because there are many ideas, many mindset principles that help you to approach and to develop a single session therapy.
That's really interesting. Thank you so much for sharing about those principles that lead to a mindset. I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about your experience implementing single session therapy in Italy.
In Italy, it was very particular because we had the translation of Single Session Therapy, which was the first book about that by Moshe Talmon. And after that, nothing else was written about single session therapy in Italy. So I thought that single session therapy was just, I don't know how to say in English, a fashion, something born and dead in a few years. And I was very surprised when I discovered that in the other countries in the world, it was born and alive. And also that few people in Italy were still talking about that. So I went to California, in California, to have a workshop with Michael Hoyt, and then in Australia, in a workshop at the Burry Center with Jeff Young. And then I start to talk about single session therapy in Italy. And the very first reactions were shocked and also skeptical. It's impossible to help a client in just one session. You can't even create the therapeutic alliance in one session. But then we continue to talk, me and my team continue to talk about data of single session therapy, about the success, about the last studies and books and researches about single session therapy. And Italian therapists start to approach to this method to they wanted to know more about that. So we started with the very first workshops. And the very interesting thing is that we trained a lot of freelancer therapists with private private offices. And and just in the last year, in the last years, we start to offer this service also to public health care. So we started with a private practitioner, and we wrote a book about single session therapy that now is translated in English. It's Single Session Therapy Principles and Practices, and in Japanese. And now with the Italian Center for Single Session Therapy, we are at the point that you need to have in mind if you want to be trained in this method in Italy.
That's amazing. So you started with the private sector, so private practice psychologists, and then just last year, you began also training and offering workshops to the public sector as well. So can you tell me a little bit about some of the tools and trainings that you use to support this implementation and really support the shift in mindset with practitioners?
Our basic workshop is a 2 days workshop. Our workshop is a very practical workshop, but the very first hours of the first day of the workshop are dedicated to help therapists, the participants, to shift their mindset. We do that starting with many information about data, because still now, many therapists are not so aware about the big research around single session therapy. So you set the ground, we set the ground, telling them, okay, those are the data that tell us that single session therapy works. Despite what you think, despite your skepticism, you have to know that it works. And the second part is dedicated to help them to enter in the mindset, giving them some principles. We don't spend many hours to show them all the 14 principles. We select some of them and we help them to consider that people have resources that, for example, as Michael Hoyt liked to say, the most common number of sessions in psychotherapy is zero, not one. One is what single session therapy studies say, but zero is a way to say that usually people solve our problem by ourselves. And this means that we have resources. And this means that you can help client to ask some question to the client to see what are those resources and to help them to figure out how they can use those resources to solve the problem. But in order to do that, you have to change your mindset, because if you come from a psychotherapeutic approach in which you have a very strong presence, you are the expert, you give the client, you are trained to find out what is the diagnosis or the problem in order to give a specific task or homework for that problem, for that diagnosis, you risk to not let the client to find his ways to solve the problem, which often are the best ways. Because if you give a task, a homework to the client needs to adapt to that task. Maybe it doesn't work for him or for her. But if you find the ways in which clients usually solve problems, well, maybe you can use those ways to make that them again, or to build something that fit better with the client, with his way to live the life or to see the life. And so during our workshop, we make many exercises to help the therapist to take this dress, to enter in this dress, in this new dress. And then we start to help them to practice with some practical guidelines, because the mindset is important, but also it's important to have a structure. You can maximize a single session in many different ways. During the next symposium that we will do in Rome, Italy, from 10 to 12 November, we will have about single session therapy, of course, and that's the first in Europe. We will have many people from England, from Italy, of course, from California, from Canada, Texas, Australia, Sweden, and so on. And they have their personal way to do single session therapy, because there are many ways to help clients or people to do that. But you need a structure. In any way, you need a structure. So we helped during our workshop. We helped the therapist with some practical guidelines, like define the problem in a very specific way, asking the what, the where, the who, the when, and so on. Define the goal and the goal of the session. Use constantly feedback. Feedback are very important because help you to stay on track, to help you to not to go with your ideas about how things are working or not working in the client's life, but staying with their description of how are things are working and how they see life, how they see the problem. And the feedbacks also help you in helping the client to hear what they say in a different way. You know, that effect for which you think something and then you speak it loud, you say, oh, that's more brilliant. Now that I told that in words and not just staying in my thoughts. Well, if you do that with your client, you can have the same effort. Now that you are repeating to me this thing, the things I say, doctor, they seems different. I have a shift in how they work, and so go home. And those basically are the things we do during our workshop in a very practical way, because you need to practice in order to understand.
That's really interesting. And I can imagine challenging for some people to really shift their mindsets from things that they've learned and ways that they've learned to interact with clients and go sort of take a completely different approach than what they actually originally understood and learned in school. So I can imagine that that would be very challenging for some people. I'm wondering, kind of going back and thinking about when you first learned about single session therapy, you mentioned that you went to some workshops and some trainings and learned more about it and were quite excited about it. I'm wondering, what was it about single session therapy that excited you? And what was it about it that made you want to take it and implement it in Italy?
Well, I'm a brief therapist. I kind of obsessed. But I was obsessed with the idea to help clients in few sessions that I can. Now I think I reached this goal because my average, I used to monitor my outcomes. My average is around 4 or 5 sessions. Of course, there are therapy that lasts one session, of course, and therapy that can last 10 sessions, 12 sessions, 20 sessions. But my average is 4 to 5. In that time, I was studying. Actually, I was enlarging my studies about brief therapy, trying to figure out how brief therapy, what were the development of brief therapy around the world. And the idea to help client also in one session was amazing for me, because completely fits to, in particular, to the idea to give the client what they want. I really don't like labels. And many approaches work with labels, which means two things, in my opinion. One is the most evident that works with the idea that client has this kind of problem or this kind of diagnosis. And if you approach with this idea, with this mindset, you force the client in a particular kind of therapy. Or you have anorexia, which is a awful things to say. You have anorexia, or you just think, oh, she has anorexia. So she will need many sessions to before she can solve the problem. Oh, this is a borderline personality disorder. It will take many sessions to help this client, and probably he will never solve that completely. I think this is a very bad way to see the world. My point of view is very different. My point of view is focus on studies and researches and experience, which says that one client with anorexia, with borderline personality disorder, I don't like diagnosis, I'm just doing an example, just attend for one session, for two sessions, for three sessions, and then they, in the follow-up, we discovered that they solved the problem. They don't have any more those kind of diagnosis. My point of view is focus on those cases because I think if that happened with that person, it can happen not for everyone, but for other persons. So how can I maximize this kind of process? And the other way in which we approach to the therapy in a bad way is to have an approach, a structure that forces you to do a second, a third, a fourth session. I can do a brief therapy, but if in the first session I give you a task, just to make an example, I give you a task that needs to be followed by me in the second session because I need to ask you, how do you do? Have you done the homework? How it works? Okay, now the second step is this one. I force you to have a second session. I force ourselves to stay in a structure that force ourselves to have another session or other session. The switch with single session therapy is that I give me the chance to stay with the client, to ask the client what is important for her, to ask her, do you think you need another session? I basically ask this question almost in every session. Do you think you need another session? Do you think we are going well? Do you think you can try by yourself? And if you want, then you do a call and we make another appointment. And this is important because this tell many things to the client, things like you decide, you are the expert of your life. You can decide if you need me or you don't need me. A research, very interesting, says that only 20 slash 30% of therapists end with the therapist, which says, okay, we're finished, we are okay. Why? Because most of the time, clients decide that therapy is over, it's end. They don't need any other session. And so why we can't make explicit these things? Why don't we ask to the client to constantly what he thinks, what he wants? And I think that single session therapy, but because I was looking for something that helped me to short the length of therapy, and because I was searching for something that fit with what clients really want.
Those are really great points. I really enjoy hearing about the person centricity of the approach of single session therapy and really recognizing each person's capacities and resources. Like you mentioned, everyone does have resources. Everyone has way that they do things, a way that they problem solve, and wanting to understand that as a part of finding solutions and the collaborative nature of the single session therapy is really important, or seems very important to you as well, with trying to shorten the amount of time that it takes for the person to get what they need or what they want. And so I enjoy hearing about that aspect of single session therapy and how it shifts the way people think about mental health. As you mentioned, the focus on diagnosis or the focus on finding a problem versus the focus on helping people to think things through and find solutions that they may already have the resources for. Once asked and sort of repeated back to them, they start to realize that, oh, wait a minute, I have some resources already to help with this problem. You mentioned that when you started implementing single session therapy in Italy, you started with private practice or private practitioners. I wonder, what is your thought on why single session therapy resonated or was helpful to this particular set of professionals?
I think that the why it's connected, it's linked to the very particular environment and situation in Italy. Italy has 100,000 psychologists, which is one fourth of all the psychologists in USA and Europe. USA and Europe have 400,000 psychologists, and 100,000 are in Italy. So this means that, and the funny fact is that we don't have high degree of mental illness. It's actually before COVID, it was one of the lower in Europe. But this huge number of psychologists, I have to say that means that if you want to do psychotherapy, you will face a lot of competitors. And there is also another problem that Italy doesn't have a great culture of mental health. We don't like to go to psychologists. In the last years, this mindset is changing, but it's still very common in Italy to say, "Oh, I don't need a psychologist. I'm not crazy." So I think that many Italian psychologists, when started to know single session therapy, found it like a way to approach with more clients, to connect with more clients. And that's not stupid, and that's not a bad thing, because you have to know that in all the countries of the world, at least of the Western world, there is a thing nowhere as an expressed helpseek, which means that it's an observation that many people, a lot of people actually, that could benefit from a psychotherapy, never go to a psychotherapist. Why? Because they think it lasts too much, it costs too much, or that's their problem, it's not a psychotherapist problem, or for the stigma, and so on. So many Italian psychotherapists and psychologists understood that to propose to people just to try to do a single session could be a way to erase the stigma. And that's true. Many people say, "I never try psychotherapy. I think it costs too much. But I saw your blog, and you present the data, and you say that one session could be enough. So I say, give it a chance. And here I am, doctor." And then statistics say has that 50% of them actually will say, "Wow, this session was enough. I don't need any other session. Thank you, doctor." But 50% probably will discover that other sessions are needed for solve their problem, for reaching the help they are searching for. And many of them will say, well, now I know how psychotherapy works. I thought it was a very different things. I thought you ask about my past or my parents. I either want to talk about my parents and my past or my childhood and so go on. But it's different. So now I think I can continue. And it doesn't cost too much because single session therapy also help you to make the whole psychotherapy briefer, more efficient. Okay. And so I think that many Italian psychotherapists wanted to have, in a single session therapy, a way to reach other client, many, many other clients. By the way, an expressed help seek in Italy, it's around 60 to 90%. And on the other hand, you have to know that Italian psychologists are overtrained. We do a lot of training, so it's not it's like we are constantly searching for new methods, new ways, new approaches in order to help clients.
Thanks for sharing. That's really interesting. Very interesting to know that one quarter of the psychologists in Europe are located in Italy. That's very, very interesting. And so what you're saying really makes sense. I wonder, before we close our conversation today, if you have anything else that you weren't able to mention about single session therapy that you'd like to mention.
If I can, I would like to invite all our listeners to the symposium. That's the fourth International Single Session Therapy Symposium, and that's the first in Europe, in Italy, in Rome. And that's very important to me for this reason, of course, but also because we will have 15 guests from all around the world. We will have Moshe Talmon, the father of single session therapy, and also Michael Hoyt and Robert Rosenbaum, which with Moshe Talmon are the originators of single session therapy. And we will have Jeff Young, Monte Bobil, and also Jessica Schleider, which is a great researcher in New York. Also Italian, of course, Italian and European presenters like Wendy Dryden, Martin Soderquist, Giorgio Nardone, Giada Pietra Bissa, and others. And also we will have more than 20 external presentation from participants from all around the world. So the title is Single Session Therapies, plural, because we wanted to organize a symposium that make possible to have an idea of the state of art, and also to give an idea about the what, the why, and the how single session therapy works, single session therapies work in different ways. And we have also organized some moments, lunch and dinners, in which you can talk with all those people. So you can also attend online, but also can come in presence and have the chance to shake hands and talk with people that make the history of single session therapy. And maybe you can be the next one who make the history of single session therapy. On the website www.singlesessiontherapies.com, you can find all the information.
Thanks for sharing that. We will definitely put that link in the show notes as well, so listeners can check that out. The first single session therapy symposium in Europe, very exciting, diversity of perceptions and perspectives on single session therapy. And I just love the concept of recognizing there's many different ways of doing single session therapy, and that's why it's called single session therapists, plural.
Yeah.
I love that. Thank you so much. We want to appreciate you for joining us today as well. We really thank you for sharing your insights and understanding about single session therapy and your experiences implementing. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Alexa, and thank you, all the listeners.
Thank you once again for joining us on the So Why podcast with Step Care Solutions. For more information on the Step Care 2.0 model, the Wellness Together Canada portal, as well as links to resources mentioned in this episode, please check out the show notes below. Thanks for tuning in once again. We look forward to having you back next time.